for God's mercy. Brother Greg, to open with a word of prayer. We're saying,
He pulled in the Orlando arms. It's the kind that restored my soul. For I was saved by the Jericho road when Jesus pulled. Every single one of us can relate to that song, because when we sing that song, then was mercy rewrote my life, and then we could sing the song I am redeemed. So all those three songs, they are connected, and all of us can connect to those songs. Dear Heavenly Father, we just would like to thank you that you brought us safely here. Dear Heavenly Father, we're gonna pray for those ones who couldn't make it today, for those ones that might be on the road and on the way, the traffic here and there, maybe could keep them a little bit longer than they expected. But we pray for them. In Jesus' name, we pray for those ones online who join in on the YouTube, on the Zoom, on different platforms. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you forgive us all our trespasses, everything that we done wrong, that we might have a fight with our wife, or we could have some maybe strife at work, or maybe we have a just simply bad week. The Heavenly Father, that's the time. And that's the place to come, Lord Jesus, on Friday. Not to hide from Friday, just to come here. Not as Adam was hiding, just, Lord, we let us come out from the bush and just says, God, I done wrong. The Heavenly Father, we pray for the minister who bring the word. Lord, put him aside that would could hear from you. Lord, and from all this service, we ask that you take all the glory and all the praises. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing, magnify the Lord with me, for he is worthy to be praised. Magnify the Lord, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy, for he is worthy to be praised. Sing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Sing Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the, oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Glory, 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 glory to his name. For he lives and reigns forever. Oh, sing glory, 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 glory to his name. For he lives and reigns forever. So sing Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, sing Hosanna. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh is his name. For he provided all my need. Oh, Jehovah Jireh is his name. Sing Hosanna to the slain. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Sing Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, Jehovah Jireh is his name, for he provided all my need. Jehovah Jireh is his name, Jehovah Jireh is his name, for you provided all. That's why we sing Hosanna. Blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of our salvation. Sing Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of our salvation. Oh, in that rock we will hide. In the shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in that rock I will hide. Can I storms of life come sweeping over me, that rock. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. Fill the life with glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. Clutching his grasp and shivering his saddle. Came and bathed his darkness. When Jesus comes, thus comes the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears I wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to set from home. From home and friends, the evil spirits stolen among the tombs. He dwells in misery, caught to hell as demons fast possessed him. Then Jesus came and set his captives free. When Jesus comes, oh, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. The tears and sees the light be glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. That's why every time he comes, something good happens. Every time you come, something good happens. So come, Lord, come, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. The captives are set, the bride is crying. So come, Lord. Something good must happen in a time of sorrow and deep distress. All alone in that one-to-one regard, all I care to you, Lord, I confess in that mighty presence. Every time you come, something good happens. Every time you come, something good. We are singing, come, Lord, come, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. The captives are set, so come, Lord. Let's keep holding on, keep holding to his ever-present grace. For we anchor to always seek his face. And he who the Father brings, he will never turn away. We, Lord Jesus, something good. Every time the Savior comes, every time you come, something good happens. Every time he comes, something good happens. We are singing, come, Lord, come. blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There are some heir of salvation, purchased of God. I'm born of His skin, washed in making your story. This is us making a story. This is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission. Perfect submission, perfect delight, regions of rapture, now blessing my sight. Angels descending, rain from above, echoes of mercy, love's burden. Making your story. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Perfect submission, perfect. Hey, all is at rest. I am my Savior, happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, we are feeling His goodness. Lost in making your story, making your story. This is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Oh, this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. So the love of God is greater and far than tongues of men can ever do. It goes beyond, it goes beyond the highest and riches to the lowest, the guilty pair, the guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son, He gave His only Son to Him, His erring child. And pardoned from He is with the love of God, with the love of God. Oh, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. He goes beyond. Shall forevermore rejoice the saints and angels' song when glory time. shall pass away. And earthly thrones and kingdoms fall. Men here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains. God's love so sure shall still lead you through all measure. Oh, how and so redeeming grace through light and faith and saints and angels. With the love of God,
our rich and poor, our miserable and strong,
experience that love of God.
Amen.
There's nothing like it.
Amen.
I mean, when you have experienced the love of God and to stand in the congregation to sing a song like this,
Hallelujah.
Can never be enough.
Yes,
regardless of how many times you sing it,
Amen.
The love of God is just amazing. It's wonderful.
Amen.
It's great to be with you tonight, saints. And it's good to see again our brother Jose back
Amen.
On the post of duty. Passport surrendered, going nowhere no more. May God bless you, Brother Jose. It's a great privilege to be here in the house of the Lord today.
Amen.
The week has been quite a week for many people, I know. We had quite a blessed weekend last weekend, but a very busy one too, you know. Then Tuesday morning, children back to school, work back in full swing, and everything else on top of it, you know. Just barely made it. We want to thank God for that. We have a number of prayer requests here that I would like to read before I ask you to pray. Brother Tendai is asking for prayer. He is traveling to England tomorrow. And Brother Maxwell is not here tonight. He's got a swollen foot. He's been swollen all week. And he's asking for prayer that the Lord may restore him so that he could be in church with us on Sunday. And also, Brother Wilmo, me, I'm asking for prayer. I've been troubled with a stomach pain since last week, Wednesday. Oh, I tell you, I mean, if you see me ringing the doctor, you should know something is wrong. I have full faith in the Lord, but it's just been plaguing me so much. I had to go to the doctor yesterday. So I'm still looking to the Lord that he will touch me and heal me. It's just painful, you know, it's not diarrhea or anything, it's just painful, and it comes in waves like that there, you know. So I would really appreciate your prayers tonight. And also, Sister Agi has got a friend who gave birth to a baby boy in the hospital, but this baby is not well, jaundice, not able to take milk without antibiotics, low blood sugar, you know how. When the devil wants to push things on you, he just pushes them. And this woman just gave birth, and having to take care of this child in this condition, she really needs God's touch. If we could remember her and pray for her. Also remember the pastor and his family needing to take a little bit of a rest. They would be away this weekend, so let us commit them to the Lord. I would like to invite you all to a small time of prayer over these needs. We shall commit them to the Lord at the end of the service again. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you just to thank you, for thou art our God, you are our sustainer. Amen. Let us turn in the Bible to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 17. 2 Samuel, chapter 14. I would like to read just a few verses there. Verse 25. 2 Samuel 14, from verse number 25. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. I don't know if you've ever come across that scripture. The man was so beautiful. There was none to be praised above him in all Israel. And it continues to say, from the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. Amen. This man was a handsome man. I mean, talk about handsome. There it is. If the Bible says to someone he was perfect, this guy was really, really handsome. And it says, when he pulled his hair, that's when he trimmed it. For it was at every year's end that he pulled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he pulled it. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. And unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of fair countenance. She had to be with a father like this. She had to be. I would like also to read in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Then I will ask you saints to sit. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Amen. Paul had learned, whatever state he is in, rich or poor, money or no money, rain or thunder, whether his eyes are troubling him or not, Paul had learned something very important, and by God's grace would like to look at it tonight. He had learned therewith to be content. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've opened the scriptures, we ask now, Lord, that you help us to look into them, Father, for only you can open our eyes to see what you have in store for us, Lord. For we are also walking in this world with all its traps, Lord. Father, help us, Father, tonight to look, Lord, Father, that we may know how to walk before you. We commit these scriptures to you and ask that you come now and speak. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. 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 You may be seated, saints. So Paul, he not only speak about contentment in this place here, but he speaks about contentment even in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. He speaks and he says, be content with such things as you have. And that's not an easy saying to say to people, to be content with whatever you have. You know, if somebody comes to your house and they've got nothing and they're wondering what to do, and you're saying to them, sister, you just need to be content with what you have, you know. It's a very difficult statement for somebody to swallow when they are in a position of want, when they're desiring to have something, and you tell them, go be content with what you have. He says in the book of Timothy 6, having food and raiment, let us, sister, do you mind to close this one, because it might take away attention at this time. He says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So there is something about the human nature that needs to be reminded this at all times. Because if we don't remind each other of this principle we want to speak about tonight, we can find ourselves in such trouble. And you may ask me, what is to be content? What is it if we ask tonight to say, how many of you are content? You may wonder to say, what is the definition, the dictionary definition of that? It's a state of satisfaction. that you are satisfied. It doesn't mean that you are rich. It doesn't mean that you are poor. But you are in a state of satisfaction, a state of peaceful happiness. And many times people confuse this with riches and the goods of this world. That the more goods you have, the more satisfied that you become. But you see that without the real object that brings satisfaction to the soul, you can never be satisfied. It is impossible, literally impossible, to be content when you don't have the object that brings the right contentment to your soul. I would like to define this contentment and go with you to the book of Mark chapter 15. It is a place where the Jews have brought Jesus Christ to Pilate. And we know that story. They had got him from the garden the previous night, took him to Caiaphas' house, slapped on him, done everything that they could, and they brought him to Pilate. They wanted him to be killed. This is the only thing they thought that would satisfy them, is to see Jesus Christ crucified. And Pilate, if you read in the book of Mark chapter 15, Mark 15 verse 15, Pilate, when he saw that the people were going to cause a tumult, it says in the book of Matthew, of the same account, he says they were going to cause a tumult, and saw Pilate willing to content the people, release Barabbas unto them, and deliver Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. So Pilate looked at the people, the way they were gathered and the way they were rioting, that there's nothing that could satisfy them and make them content and go home besides giving them Jesus Christ. He actually had a revelation, you know, that many of us lack today, because without Jesus, my friend, you're nothing. Regardless of what you might acquire in this world, without Jesus, you can never, ever become content. And these people, without Jesus, Pilate could see they could not be content. So in order to make them content, he gave them what they wanted, the object of that contentment. They say to him, if you don't crucify Jesus, you are not a friend of Caesar. Mm-hmm. We have no other king besides Caesar. You know, that day they became Caesar's subjects while they were rioting against him previously. But because Jesus became involved in the mix, and it was in their hearts were desiring this, and they had fixed their mind on it, that this will make us content. There was nothing else that could satisfy them. And I use this portion here just to describe to you what it is to be content, that you can never be content unless you find the object of that contentment. And that's very much like the human soul. True. The human soul desires something. And we are all searching for something. The prophet says, what are you struggling for? What do you wake up every day for? Why do you go to work struggling in the weather, struggling with all this and that? What is it that you are looking for? To just get old and die. You know, but there is something that the soul is looking for, and unless it finds that thing, it will never, ever be content. Amen. No, it is not possible. It needs something, like the parable that Jesus gives of the merchant who was going throughout the whole world looking for pearls, precious little stones. He went there, he buys pearls, he brings them home. Oh, look, my wife, we are going to be so rich. Oh, isn't this pretty? But then after a few days, that contentment is gone. And he's telling his wife again, I'm going again. I better go look for more pearls. Well, you've got pearls in the house. What do you need more for? And he kept on going, getting pearls, bringing them. He wasn't content. He was not satisfied. He knew that he needs more and more of these pearls until one day, the Bible says, he found the pearl of great price. And when he found that pearl of great price, he was willing to give up all the other pearls. Because it says he went home and sold all the other pearls that he had so that he could come and get this one pearl. Because that one pearl is what he had been searching all these years for. And when he found it, he became content. Amen. Just to look at it. Like Brother Branham says, when I was looking for a wife, I wasn't content. I looked and looked, but when I found my wife, the one that I really loved, my heart became content. And I stopped looking. You see, so true contentment brings something to you. It brings a state of satisfaction that your soul is no longer wandering, looking for something else, because nothing else will ever satisfy it. Amen. And so he was willing to give up all the other pearls that he had so that he could buy only this one pearl, because it would give him contentment. Without that, nothing else could ever satisfy you. A person could think, if I pass living set, I will be happy. I think that's everything I need right now, is to pass living set. And then you pass it. Praise God. But 2-3 days later, you are thinking now, well, what shall I do? Because living set is not designed to satisfy your soul.
Amen.
So the next thing you want to have a degree. What degree would satisfy me? If I go and do dentistry, I think that I will be satisfied. I think my mother and father will be happy if I go and study IT, because my dad is a coder, you know. And that's good. And you go and get your degree, and then you think, if I could get a job at SAP, that would satisfy me. Then you get that job, you come and testify here. A few weeks later, you find that you are not happy. There's something more that you need.
Amen.
Well, if I could make team leader at work, I think I will be happy. Then you are a team leader, and then you find out that, hey, after a few more weeks, I need something, you know. It's a fool's errand, trying to satisfy yourself with the things of this world. It doesn't work. It never will work. And that's why, could you put for me, Sister Di, that picture there? And the newspaper clip. And you might think that if I get a salary increase, I'll be happy. No, you will not be happy. Look at this. This is a story from Zimbabwe. The daughter of Robert Mugabe. She's getting divorced now. And the husband has listed the properties that they own, and he wants the court to divide them equally between them. This is insane. It's insanity. Because these people had 21 farms. 21. What do two people need 21 farms for? One of the farms, if you can see there, they put their sizes. We're going over to 8,000 hectares. That's more than Dublin city center. And they had 21 of them. These are the stands, the pieces of stands where they could build houses. I don't know how many they are, but I looked at the first one and I said, Lord, if I could get that one, I'll be content. But they had more than 20 pieces of land in the city. And with their value listed there, what are these people doing? They are searching for something. They are longing for something, and they will never be happy until they find it. These people have got companies. They have got money, even cash. He listed the amount of cash they are hiding in the house. Enough money that if we give you, you never have to work again. But still, they are not content. They are looking for something. So you can see from this here that without the real object that gives contentment to your soul, you will search and search and search for your life, and you will never be happy. Even when you own the whole world, you will still not be happy. Sister, do you want to put the next picture there? Look at this one. I've loved this picture since the first time I saw it. And I'm sorry to these kids. I don't mean to be mean to them. But she has come number one. He has come number three. But if you look without seeing what numbers they are, you would think this guy has come number one. And she's not happy that he is happy. She's not content even with number one. So you can become a president of a country. You can become the Pope of the whole Catholic Church. But as long as you don't have the real object that gives contentment to your soul, you will never be content. You will never be happy. My, it's a strange thing. This contentment, Paul says, with such things as you have, even whatever that you might have, you can remove the picture, sister. Be content with that. But I like how he says it in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hallelujah. If you would like to put that scripture, sister, so we can look at it together. He says, be content. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Coveting someone else's things. Oh, if I could have a husband like Sister Anatolia. Oh, if I could have a Bible like Kamel's. Oh, if I... You see, those things don't bring you happiness. He says, be content with such things as you have. Amen. So whatever that you have, be content with that. Amen. Like, I love my suit, you know. I was wearing it last Sunday, and I'm very content with it, you know. But if I see another brother wearing a nice suit, well, that is really nice, brother. Can I get a picture with you? But it doesn't make me go to the shop and look for a suit like him, because I'm content with mine, you know. Amen. That's what Paul is. Be content with such things as you have. And then he puts a colon there, because he's joining what he has just said with the next statement. These two things are connected. You cannot separate them. So be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. So your contentment is based in the fact that God has promised to never leave you or forsake you. Amen. So as long as you are with God and you are a partaker of this promise, you are content. Amen. Whatever things you have, whether you have money or no money, so long as you have God on your side, you are content. Whether you have a house or no house, so long as you have God with you, you are content. I remember being called into the office in 2008 by my boss. I thought he was going to have a heart attack. You could see on his face that he was about to deliver bad news. And it was affecting him more than it affected me. When he told me that we have tried everything. The recession is biting hard. We have to let you go, Wilmo. It almost killed the man, you know. But I was content. I was happy. Amen. Job or no job. And people, you know, I was so happy just to have God. Amen. Because when you have God, you have everything. Amen. He is the author and the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. He owns everything that is on this earth. Not only that, all the other stars and planets and everything in the universe and beyond that. Because our minds are too small to ever think what God has. And if you have God, the giver of every good gift, what more do you want? So whether your car is an old banger like mine, or it's a brand new car, that don't matter really. You are content because your contentment is not based in the car. It is based in the person of Jesus Christ. And he has promised that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you are basing your faith in that, then you are content. Not in the things that you have. I would like to show you that the things that we think are important, they don't bring contentment. It is only Jesus Christ who brings contentment. When I was growing up, I liked to think myself a wise guy. And I would like you young people here to think yourself wise people. Why do you have to make the mistakes that we made? You don't have to. You have to listen to the mistakes that we made, then avoid those mistakes altogether in your life. Don't go on a fool's errand of trying to get rich. It won't get you anywhere. We have tried it. And I don't have hair anymore, Brother Eli. There was a man who had it all. And his name was Absalom. Let us learn from Absalom tonight so that we can avoid the things that he did. Amen. And then we'll learn from another young man later on. Absalom, like we read, he was the most handsome guy in Israel. The Bible says it. There was no blemish from the foot to the top of his head. He had no blemish. He was perfect. And you would think that makes people content. Huh? Imagine if he lived in the days where selfies are taken. His ones would trend on Twitter like nothing else. All these people that think they are perfect and they put their pictures on magazines, on the internet, on Facebook, everywhere, they are nothing compared to Absalom. Because when the man cut his hair, it took a number of men to carry it, Brother George. That's how handsome he was. But Absalom, there was something lacking in him that manifested in all the actions that he took and the decisions that he took in his life. Absalom, he had killed his brother Amnon. You know the story. He killed him because Amnon had done evil to Absalom's sister. And when that happened, he ran away from the country because he thought, my father is going to kill me. But David wasn't going to kill Absalom. The Bible actually said David loved Absalom. And when he had mourned Amnon, he wasn't angry with Absalom. However, Joab could see it, that David loves his son. And his mind is not here as long as his son is not here. Let me devise a scheme to bring Absalom back. And Absalom was brought into the country. But David says, let not the guy see my face for what he did. For 2 years he stayed in Jerusalem without seeing his father. Now remember that he was a very handsome man. And that could not bring him satisfaction. And when he was in exile, I don't think anybody likes that. But when he was brought back home, you'd think that would make him content. Because his father was a king. But he was not content with that. And he began to devise a plan so that he could go back in front of his father again. Which is normal. We can forgive him for that. Any son would do that, to be with his father. Anyway, he comes before his father, and you think things are normal now. And he is a prince in the land. And his father loves him. You would think that is enough for any person. But it was not enough for Absalom. Because if you read in the Bible, it says he began to go and win the hearts of the people to him against his own father. People would come to the courts of the father and he would say, what is your matter? Okay, your matter is just, you know. But you know, my father is too busy. Oh, if I were made a judge in this land, I would judge your matters. You see, winning the hearts of the people. And he thought that when the people have got him at heart, he would be satisfied. But Absalom was not satisfied, even when it came to a place where the whole land, the Bible says, went after Absalom. He stole the hearts of all the men of Israel. They went after him, and he thought, I'll be happy, but he wasn't happy. He wanted to be king, and he thought, this would bring contentment to me. I'll be happy when I am king. So he devised a plan, bring all the men of war with him, and David heard it. And he fled the city, David, the king, fled the city. And Absalom came into the city and he was king. The thing that he always wanted, now he was king. But did that satisfy him? It didn't bring contentment, because it is not position in society that brings you contentment. It is not how beautiful you are as a person that can ever bring you contentment. So when he became king, they came, Ahithophel came and told him, Yeah, if you really want satisfaction, take your father's wives onto the roof for all Israel to see. Then they will know you are king. And he said, yeah, your counsel pleases me. You see, it means that he wasn't even pleased with being king. There was still something more that could be done to make him more pleased. So he goes and done a thing like that on the roof for all Israel to see that Absalom is the main guy now. But did that please him? After that, he must have been popular a bit more. But a few days later, he wasn't popular as he thought. He was not pleased. And Ahithophel could see that there's something still more that can be done for Absalom. Then Ahithophel comes with a plan. Let's go and fetch your father with the armies. We don't have to kill anybody else. We have to kill only your father. We smite him dead. And the Bible says the saying pleased Absalom. You could see all these other things that he had done. They had not satisfied him. And he had now come to a conclusion that maybe if my father is dead, what wrong had David done to Absalom? I mean, go and search in the Bible, you hardly find. Everything David done against Absalom was justified because he had killed his brother Amnon. But he wasn't satisfied. He wanted his father dead. If it wasn't for the other men who gave counsel against it, I believe they would have killed David. But they would have found out that he's not satisfied anyhow. Because that's what happens with this thing. It's a fool's errand. When you begin to search after it, you go after it and then you reach a goal and you think 1 degree will satisfy me. 10 years later, 10 degrees, no satisfaction. It's a fool's errand. But when you have the man of satisfaction, when you have Jesus Christ himself, you don't have to go on fool's errands. You are satisfied with whatever you have. There was such a man, Joseph, when he was a slave in Potiphar's house. He was content. Even though there was nothing in Potiphar's house that was in Joseph's name. He wasn't even getting a salary. He was working for nothing because that's what slavery is. But Joseph was content, so content until Potiphar made him the keeper of his household. And he put him in a position. The man was content. Amen. He was content because he knew that somewhere is my father. And my father loves me. Amen. And that's enough for me. Amen. So when you know the love of God, and you know that God loves you Amen. As an individual, Amen. You are content. Amen. It Amen. Don't really matter what you go through at work. You are content. There's something that nobody can touch. Even when they put Joseph in prison, he was still content. After false accusation, and they put him in prison, the man was prospering there until they made him a keeper of the prisoners, Amen. In charge. You see, it doesn't matter what you have or what position you have. Even when Joseph became Pharaoh's right-hand man, he was still the same man. Because the fundamental thing never changed. And that fundamental thing was, he was content because he was with the Lord. Amen. And the Lord was with him. And that's the thing that we need. Many people here, sitting here, know what it is to be content. Amen. When the day comes and you have got no money, and all you have for dinner is baked beans and a loaf of bread from Dan's, it doesn't bother you. Amen. It really doesn't. You're driving into work and your car breaks down. That doesn't bother you at all. Amen. Because there's something that is anchored in your soul, and that's Jesus Christ himself. Amen. And that's what brings you your contentment. Your contentment is not dependent on what color of your car is. And you look at it every day, and it bothers you no end. Why did I get this blue car or something? You know? Or why did I have to work in such a place? No, those things don't matter when you are satisfied. When Jesus Christ himself is anchored in your soul. Absalom, if you go home and read his story, this lack of contentment led to his death. it finally led him to his death, because he did go after his father, and his hair, that was the object of his beauty, caught in the tree. And there they smote him and he died. It's a deadly thing. We must learn to be content with whatsoever that we have. I would like to read for you something that will just bring this home, and we'll come to a time of prayer. It is from the message that the prophet preached, the door inside the door. It's a very familiar place in the message, if you find it. And he says, I always tell my young couples like this. Happiness does not consist of how much of the world's goods you own, but how content you make yourself with the portion that is allotted to you. Amen. So whatever God has allotted to you, if you are content with that, that's what brings you happiness. Amen. Because some of the things that we want, it's like little children. When you are shaving in the house there and he comes and he wants your shaving machine, as a father who's responsible, you're not going to give him, because you know that he hasn't developed well enough yet to be able to handle this shaving machine. Sister Liana is cutting tomatoes in the kitchen with a very sharp knife. And Joanna comes. She wants to do the same. She's not going to give her the knife, because she knows she hasn't got the skill yet to handle some of these things. And the heart is very deceitful above all things. We think that when we're lying in bed, if I can win the lotto, I'll do a lot of good. I'll buy a new church. Our brother Will seems to struggle with his car. I think I'll buy him a car. And you'll be meaning it. You actually absolutely mean it. But money, when it comes without character, it has a corrupting power with it. That brother Will you used to see and think, I'll buy him a car, all of a sudden he becomes a nuisance, you know? You see, God won't release it to you until your character matches what those gifts can do to you. So he says here, happiness does not consist of how much the world's goods you own, but how contented you make yourself with the portion that's allotted to you. That's right, too. I have seen couples that didn't have nothing, the prophet says. I've seen couples that had nothing. I married a couple here some years ago. I don't know how they ever asked me to marry them. The boy was a friend of mine. His father worked the public service company with me. Very sharp, intelligent young man. He had everything, this boy. He was sharp and intelligent. Yeah? He married a millionaire's daughter. I mean, what else could he want? You marry a millionaire's daughter, you are sharp and intelligent, everything is lining up for you, you know? The doorknobs was 14 carat in their home. In another message, the choosing of a bride, he says, one day I thought I would go down and visit this rich couple. They didn't have to work. Can you imagine, brother, where you don't have to go to work? Wouldn't that make you content? Their fathers were millionaires, had built them a nice home. Frankly, this EV night up here on his hill, his doorknobs are 14 carat. I mean, if you get the doorknobs from his house, you are set up for life. That's how rich these people were. Wouldn't that make you content? They were 14 carat on his big palace. So you can imagine what kind of home they lived in. They didn't have to work. They had a nice Cadillac given to them every year. You're just living life and your father gives you a new Cadillac every year. These guys were rich. They just had everything they wanted, and I walked up there one day. I I just want to make sure you see how rich these people were, okay? In another message, believest thou this? The prophet said, then when I married them, the same couple, I had to go way back in a booth of flowers and kneel on a pillow and so forth to marry them. Yeah? They were rich. They built a lovely home up on Silver Heights, which is one of the most, well, the classiest place that we have in the city. Which one is that in Dublin? Huh? Up over the river, which is very beautiful up there, and just only very restricted to maybe $25,000-$30,000 homes, the cheapest thing to put up there. So in that location where their house was, you couldn't just go in there and build a cheap house, you know. You had to build a $25,000-$30,000 house. That's not today's money. That's back then money. And that's a lot of money. But listen to this. It was the cheapest thing to put up there. I guess theirs cost around $100,000. These guys were rich. They had everything. Their fathers were millionaires. They got a Cadillac every year. He got a very beautiful wife. And he was intelligent and a sharp young man. Amen. What else would a man want in this life? This guy, if anybody was a candidate for being content, he should have been content. But the prophet says, I walked up there one day, you know, and I went up there to see them just at the right time, I suppose. One was sitting in one corner, and the other was sitting in another corner, and they were fighting. They had been out to a dance the night before, some party, and there'd been some man to dance with her, and it made him very angry. And so there it was, they were fussing. Money doesn't answer everything after all. It sure doesn't bring contentment. These people lacked something. If they had heard Jesus Christ in their riches or in their poverty, they would have been content with one another. The prophet goes on to speak of another couple that he married that had nothing. This girl had come all the way hitchhiking, and she had no shoes. And he said, I felt sorry for the poor thing. I wish I could buy her a pair of shoes because she had nothing. He says in another quote that she had just a skirt on, you know. Of course, she didn't have only a skirt on, but you know what he means. But they got married anyhow. And the prophet asked this boy, where are you going to take her? Where will you take this girl if I marry you now? And he says, I've got a box car down by the river there. A box car. That's a trailer from the back of a truck, if you didn't know. And he took her there, made some windows on the thing. They went and gathered some card boxes from Tesco. That's what they made for their table. But they were happy. Amen. They got old newspapers, plastered the box car with newspapers, not even whatever it's called, tiling paper, newspapers. And they sat in there. And the prophet just happened to be there on the day the man received his salary. And they were sitting there. He says the lady was on the lap of the husband. And he was like, I wish I could buy you that dress, but our money is not enough. She said, don't worry, it doesn't matter, honey. We've got to pay our insurance first. The car was an old banger car. The lights on the car were tied to the car by a wire. Huh? Like some of our cars here, yeah? Amen. When the wing mirror is broken and it's stuck there with sellotape, but she never left Brother Jose, you know? You know, the prophet says, which one will you take, Bill? I looked over there and saw the steeples on that house, the $100,000 house. And then I looked at this boy here and I said, which one is the rich man? These people had something. They had learned to be content with what they have. Because there was something where their contentment was based on. It wasn't based on the worldly things that they could acquire. It was based on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are sitting here tonight, as we invite our musicians, and you are that kind of a fella, that you are not happy with anything, you are constantly looking for the next goal. And when you reach that goal, still it doesn't provide you satisfaction. You want to reach for the next one again. If you are sitting here like that, it doesn't have to be like that. Amen. There is real satisfaction that can satisfy you more than you can ever understand. Amen. That you could be in prison like Paul, and you could brag about being in prison. Amen. Say, I'm in here for the sake of the gospel. You could be on Patmos like John, and you're saying, I'm here for the purpose of the gospel. Amen. With cockroaches all around you, snakes slithering all over the place. That was Patmos. But John never complained about being on Patmos. He was content with what he had because there was something else which was way more than what money can buy. The prophet says this. He says this, I tell you, happiness and contentment, money cannot buy. No matter how much money we search, you saw the list of how rich those people are. That's nothing compared to what they really have. And that's just the daughter. What about the two brothers that the father left? What about the mother? They are filthy rich until they nearly own the whole country. Look, she is getting a divorce. Something is not right, isn't it? Money is not the answer. Amen. Jesus is the answer. Amen. And if you are sitting here today and you are wondering, why am I not satisfied? Why am I seeking after this? I get it and I'm not happy. Then I seek after that, I get it, and I'm not happy. You will never be happy. Amen. What you really need is here on the altar. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen. True.
And he will never turn away a contrite spirit.
Amen.
He will never turn away a broken heart.
Amen.
If you are looking for satisfaction, that will satisfy you for years and years ahead, for life eternity, it is right here. Without money, without price.
Amen.
And it is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Give us a song, Brother Jesse, before we come to a time of prayer.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed after you.
You alone are my
had Brother Nanda come to preach for us. And when he preached and he tried to make us identify with either the crow or the dove that went out of the ship, the ark where Noah was, and that day I identified as that bird that went and never came back because it found the dead carcasses. But to me, that was God's grace. I said, Lord, help me and have mercy on me so that when this message is preached again next time, amen, let me be having that nature of a dove that returned to the ark. And if today you are that man up on the hill with the $1 million home and still not happy, and you desire to be like the guy that is down by the river there with nothing but is content with all he has, it is possible. Amen. God can do all things. Amen. All things are possible with God. Amen. If you are willing, you could pray to him tonight. Amen. And he specializes in changing people's natures. Amen. A miracle. Amen. Greatest miracle. He can change your character today. Amen. He can change your nature and make you like him. Amen. And you walk out here a brand new person. Not seeking after the world's goods. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, with being a little bit ambitious. But as long as you are anchored in Christ and he's your satisfaction, then you can go about it. Let us come to the Lord tonight and face him in the face of this word and see, Lord, am I that person who's content down there by the river? Or am I that rich man up there? Seeking after this and that and never coming to being happy. It doesn't have to be like that. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord. Amen. As we ask our brother Eli to come and close for us and to remember these prayer requests again, brother Tendai traveling tomorrow to England, brother Maxwell, his foot, and sister Aggie's friend in the hospital with a new baby born, myself as well, my stomach, and also I forgot to mention that my wife was not well today. If the saints could remember her also in prayer. Thank you. What's that? Oh, Sister Tara, she's not well. Okay. Okay. Amen. She couldn't get a job. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for feeding our souls from the bottom of your throne, O Lord. A fresh manna that was prepared, pre-ordered, O Lord, to satisfy our hunger, O Lord. We came needy, we came expecting on you to talk, to speak, O Lord, to our souls, Heavenly Father. And the portion that was prepared for today, we have joyfully received it, O Lord, from your servant who labored daily, nightly, O Lord, to come and to minister to your people, O Heavenly Father. We commit him into your hand. Bless him, O Lord. You know what he has been speaking about here concerning his health, O Lord. Though he's not feeling well, O Lord, though he has some weaknesses in the body, but he put that aside. And he seek the kingdom first, O Lord. And you who said that seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, O Lord, which is what he really did, O Lord. Let everything else that he needs be given to him as a bonus, O Lord. Restore his health, O Heavenly Father. And grant him beyond even what he has asked, O Lord. There are needs that he's not even aware of, O Lord, but you grant it for your glory. Bless his wife, O Lord, and heal her, O Lord, because she needs a special touch from you. Let their house be a house of joy and happiness, O Lord, because they found the real topic of contentment, which is you, Jesus. Amen. And they've invited you as a special guest in their house, O Lord. Amen. And they've made you a cohabitant with them in their house, O Lord. Amen. That's why we commit them into your hand. Amen. Let peace and satisfaction be their portion. Amen. Day after day, O Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, let it be so for each and every one of us. Yes. We have so many needs, O Lord. But all these needs, sometimes they bring more needs, O Lord. When we have not a car, O Lord, we don't bother about paying insurance. We don't bother about tax. We don't bother about petrol or whatever, O Lord. But we may think that we'll be happy when we get a car. But insurance comes with it. And we start bothering again. And we start worrying again, O Lord. When we pay insurance, we think it is finished, O Lord. But there's NCT that comes again, O Lord. O Lord, all these materialistic things, O Lord, are not the subject of our joy. Amen. You are our joy. You are our portion. And help us focus on you. Help us turn our look onto you, O Lord, because we know when we have you, we have the fountain of all joy. We have the fountain of all satisfaction, O Lord, amen. Even if we lack everything, O Lord. But when we have you with us, we are happy. And the world will not understand why we are happy, O Lord. They may think we are crazy. They may think we have lost our minds, O Lord. But we know what the secret of our joy is, having Jesus with us, O Lord. Help us, O Heavenly Father. We commit now this request that we have. Our sister Tara, O Lord, amen. Think of her, O Lord. Amen. where she is. Touch her heart, O Lord,
Amen.
And fortify her, O Lord.
Amen.
Give her strength to carry on again, O Lord. Sometimes she may think that was the thing that would make her joy.
Mm.
But you have something better in store for her.
Amen.
And when she look back a few years later, O Lord, she will say, if I did get that job that day, I wouldn't have been where I am now, O Lord.
Amen.
Let her come to that realization one day, O
yes,
Lord. And thank you for the failure.
Amen.
Oh, Heavenly Father,
Amen.
We commit our pastor into your hand.
Amen.
Give him a good rest, O Lord.
Amen.
Give him some more inspiration, O Lord.
Amen.
Bless his family. Grant them a time of refreshment, O Lord.
Amen.
May they come back refreshed and ready to carry on
Amen.
With the battle, O Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Our brother Maxwell, who is not feeling well with his foot, heal it in the precious name of Jesus. Bring him back to his post of duty, O Lord. Do it for your glory, O Lord.
Amen.
Brother Tendai going to the UK, grant him traveling mercies and bring him back safely, O Lord. Bless his family in Zimbabwe, O Lord. Keep them and protect them. Our sister Aggie's friend, that poor innocent child, O Lord. Look how hell turns against that child just to make his life miserable, O Lord. We condemn it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And we proclaim healing on that boy, O Lord.
Amen.
Boy or girl, whatever she is, O Lord,
Amen.
You know. And grant it for your glory.
Yes,
Amen.
Give joy to that family, O Lord. A birth of a child is a celebration in a family.
Amen.
And it should be. That's what it should be for that family, O Lord.
Amen, Lord.
Bring back the joy that they've lost, O Lord. And we want to hear a good testimony in the coming days,
yes.
O Lord.
Amen.
Grant it for your own glory, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we commit the weekend into your hands. Bless us, O Lord. Come and commune with us in the preaching of the word, in the worship, in the tithes and offerings, everything that we plan to do. Let it be under your leadership, O Lord. Bless us now as we depart. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's sing one more song as we dismiss.
There is peace, peace,
wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sip over my spirit forever, I pray in the Father.
While the years of eternity roll.
of the storm.
This faith, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father.
The Father.